Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you so much. Father, we ask you to bless everyone listening today, that all could learn and grow and be warned in whatever you have for us today, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful revelation to share with you today. We called it Abide in the Word, Leave Not the Path. And the first revelation was given to Merlene Laughlin on January the 7th of this 2019. I'm going to share it with you. She said, "This dream started out as a beautiful day, and Don and I went for a ride. I'm not sure where we were, but an hour and a half had gone by. Then I realized that we were going into the mountains, and I would call this the high places of God." I know since I've read the whole thing, it really fits good. There were two or three cars ahead of us. In back of us, there were two other vehicles that had caught up to us. It was like we were in a line of vehicles going somewhere. It seemed that there wasn't any way to get out of line. Well, on mountain roads, it's kind of hard. But think about getting out of line. You know, it's good not to get out of line. We use that saying, and I'm thinking that that's what this represents. It's not good to get out of line, as we normally use these words. And, of course, to leave the way of Christ. She said there wasn't any scenic overlook or even a maintenance drive to pull into. Well, it's not good to turn around either, as the Israelites wanted to do in the wilderness and go back to Egypt, because they didn't like the situation around them, but it was all for their good. In a few minutes, on the left, we looked through the trees and we were coming up to something. And there it was, a very large body of water was seen. And there was a different, narrower, paved road that went downwards towards the water. And having known the text, I could say that the downward part is not good. The two cars following us went down that narrow road. In other words, they got out of line, got off the main road, to join the activity below. And I would call this a bad spiritual choice. You know, Pilgrim's Progress is pretty good about showing you the traps along the way, right, that you need to avoid. And this is one of them here. This is a bad spiritual choice to leave the main road and go downhill. You know, going downhill doesn't represent good, you know. But we found a spot to pull over on the main road. In other words, to observe what happens to those who get out of line and go downhill off the main road of the Word. While sitting there for some time, I noticed a tide creeping in. I believe we're seeing that out there in the world. I believe it represents the curse of death, the beast, called in Revelation peoples, nations, and tongues, is encroaching on the sands of the seashore, which is said to be Abraham's seed by God. And what these will do is, of course, take out the wicked. They'll be swept back out to sea, right? A truck half the size of a semi was parked with the back end opened as if to unload something into the water. Three minivans, okay, having more perfect knowledge of the whole dream, I can tell you that this represents the factious groups. We're parked in line back of the truck with the leading van about 50 feet away. Some men came from the minivans and they were dressed in black, in other words, walking in darkness, in black jumpsuits. They were hurrying to unload the truck. I believe this is representing those captured by the faction in the church and the government. Others who I didn't see inside the loaded truck were giving each man a jumpsuit, a large, heavy, black plastic trash bag, who very quickly ran to the water and threw it in, and then got back in line. And I know that this is talking about putting those who have been trashed by faction into the beast kingdom, which is exactly what it does and what the water represents. There was a woman standing in front of the first minivan in a wine-colored pantsuit. And I think this represents a drunken walk, a walk out of touch with Scripture and righteousness. And she had a lightweight jacket. She had short, curly, brown hair and glasses. Of course, the hair represents submission, and a woman's long hair is a glory unto her because it represents her submission to her husband. Of course, we all have that husband of Christ, spiritually speaking, and we need to be submitted to him. She represents not being submitted to him. And also, they don't see well or have good discernment. Even though they value themselves on discernment way above the Scriptures. In other words, this is God speaking. It doesn't matter what the Scripture says. This is the way they are. She was pointing to someone as to give an order. And this represents the harlot who rules over those who walk in darkness and hide their evil works, which is what these people were doing. The men went faster to throw the bags into the water. Well, you know, this thing goes forth like a geometric progression. If you're talking about going through the mainstream media, the slander and the lies goes out to turn people away from the truth. And it enters into people who don't know the Scriptures and don't know the rules and don't obey the rules, so they're captured by it. And they turn and do the same thing to several people, and those each one of those turns and does the same thing to several people. The beast is being created in front of our eyes, the one that makes war on the saints and hates Christians out of all nations, as Jesus said would happen. The tribulation is being prepared. The beast is being grown up. The dragon is coming together, so to speak. All of a sudden, a bag had ripped open, the contents dumped on the pavement. That's when children's legs and arms that had been dismembered were seen. Well, this is, of course, revealing those children of God whom the factious have slain by slander and witchcraft and dismembered from the body of Christ through faction. Somehow my eyes were seeing close up. The last thing I saw was a little girl's right arm from the shoulder ripped off. In the spirit realm, it's a violent thing that happens to a soul when they give in to faction. At that time, the sky had changed to a stormy gray and the wind blew. And I believe this is talking about approaching judgment of God. because God sees what they're doing to his children. The judgment of God, the Red Sea, is coming upon them. Then a huge wave pulled all the people and the vehicles into the water. Sounds like the Red Sea again, doesn't it? Yes. In other words, all of Pharaoh's army chasing the people of God, trying to bring them back into Egypt or destroy them. Instead, they're going down to the curse of death. There was only a small piece of shiny, wet road left where the woman had been standing. I saw no evidence of anything that escaped being pulled into the water. So everything basically that went down that road, left the main road and went down that road, was taken out by the Red Sea, so to speak. And it reminds me, you know, Merlene and Don were parked up on the main road watching all this. And it reminds me of Psalm 91 and 8. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. And also Proverbs 24 and 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Certainly the wave took them out. She went on to say everything was instantly completely gone. And I saw this from the upper road. Then I woke up completely shaken with tears in my eyes. Yes, because it represents a catastrophe that the wicked have done and are doing. We've seen that both in the political realm and in the spiritual realm. I asked for a word by faith at random and got Ezekiel 43:10, in context 10 through 12. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. They don't know what it is to get off the road. They don't think they've gotten off the road, or they don't care. This is saying, show them what the house of God, the church, is supposed to look like. They don't know. And they've gotten so contrary to what is called Christianity, and in many places in the world. You know, they're so contrary to what is called Christianity, they don't know how to be in the kingdom. They're taken out. In other words, what it is and what it isn't. What is the house of God and what isn't the house of God? So you might know where to dwell, right? And then it goes on, the verse goes on, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. See, if you know what the house of God looks like, you can be ashamed of your iniquities because you know you're outside of God. And if you got a bunch of lying preachers that are trying to justify themselves and their lives by preaching less than what the Bible preaches, then they don't see their iniquities. And let them measure the pattern. We have the pattern. 1 Corinthians 4:6 says that you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written, that no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. I was talking to a Catholic over in the Middle East for a couple of days, trying to explain to him the difference between what they call Catholicism and what the Bible says, and basically pointed out that you cannot add to the Word of God or take away from it without falling under the last four verses of the book. And he saw that. He's interested in the Bible. Catholics are not interested in the Bible because when people read the Bible, they leave Catholicism and they know it. So they don't really push the Bible. They push the priests who are supposed to be getting educated so that they can come tell you what the Bible says, but they've never read it and they don't know. So Verse 11, and if they be ashamed of all that they have done, which you would be if you looked at what the real house looks like, a real Christian looks like, you know, make known unto them the form of the house. Why is that? So that they may know how to be in the church. Because many are deceived about that, about what they believe is the church. Some think it's the building, and they might as well, because they're not living in the church anyway. We are the building of God. And the fashion thereof, and the egresses thereof. The egresses thereof? Yeah. You need to show them when they are leaving the church, the body of Christ, in whom is no sin. Yes, we need to know what it is to step outside the bounds of the church. And many don't know that. And the entrances thereof. Again, you need to know how to enter what is the church, right? And all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. We have this in the New Testament. We're told how to abide in Christ in this covenant. We're told how to enter, and we're told what it is to leave the body of Christ. Since there is no sin in him, we must be abiding under the blood to be abiding in Christ. All right. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. What is he saying? The law of the house. A description of the law of the house. A description of the true called out manifested church is on the top of the mountain. And you can measure the whole limit thereof by looking at this. It represents the end time Mount Zion, who John was told is the bride. When you look at the bride, you look at the manifested church. Those in whom Christ lives and those who live in him. And the bride, the church, I'm saying the manifested church. I'm saying there is a great body of people out there called the church. But the ones who've manifested being the called out ones, which is what church means, that's the manifest church. So you want to look at the manifest church, not at what people call the church, right? And we look at them and we can know what it is to be and to look like the church. And Jesus told my brother Bolivar, he said, I am Zion. And I believe that. Those who are in Zion abide in Christ, the Word. Christ is called the Word of God. When we read abide in me, quote unquote, it means to abide in the Word. John 15, 1 through 7 says this, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Notice, every branch in me, they do start out in him. But they're taken away because they do not bear the fruit of Christ. Jesus in the parable of the sower pointed out that we are to bear the fruit of Christ, 30, 60, and 100. He mentioned three groups that failed to do that and were rejected. And one group that did do that and were not rejected. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. No man can take them out of my hand, they love to say, but it says he taketh it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanseth it that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, so you have to have the real word that came from the real Jesus in order to get this sanctification, this purification, to bear the fruit. The ones that Jesus spoke to you through his disciples, through his present body on the earth, those are the ones that have the power to save and bring you into his image. The parable of the sower was he sowed the seed of the word of God in the hearts of men, and only one out of four survived and bore fruit. Abide in me, that is in the word, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If, in other words, if you get outside of the word, outside the description of the church, except it abide in the vine, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Why do Christians not pay much attention to the word, or even be moved by it when people who do know the word speak to them the word? And they don't care. What they're saying is they don't care to be in the church. They don't care to be sanctified and manifest the bride. They don't care. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now that's plain. Once saved, always saved has nothing to do with the Bible, as you can clearly see. If they don't continue to abide in him, they are cast forth and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire. Many people who think they're going to heaven are not. They're going to split hell wide open because they are not in the church. They do not abide in Christ. They are not living under the blood. They are not going to have a Passover. The destroyer is going to take them out. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. So Christians are people, the church are a people who get answers to prayer. Because when the word abides in you, that's the same as Jesus abiding in you. Jesus is a full gospel person. Seek that. Seek to be just like Jesus. He's our example. He's our pattern. Behold, this is the law of the house. Amen. I asked for a word by faith at random and got 1 Corinthians 4 and 4, in context 4 through 6. For I know nothing against myself, yet am I not hereby justified. You could just be ignorant. Some people like to be ignorant, so they won't have to be obedient. Right? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. And how is he going to judge you? By the word. That's what the Bible says. So don't you think we should all be in the word? Wherefore, judge nothing before the time. In other words, people jump to judge, but they shouldn't. They should wait until the Lord comes and brings them light and understanding. Don't try to get the board out of your brother's eye or the mote out of your brother's eye while you got a board in your own eye. That's what Jesus said. Wherefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You don't know everything. Don't know enough to judge. And make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall each man have his praise from God. So let me say that many judge without knowledge, and because of that, they will be judged. Matthew 7 and 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. Luke 6 and 37. And judge not and you shall not be judged. And condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released. Amen. Now let me say, when the Lord comes literally to judge, like the first text here, 1 Corinthians 4 on down, it's going to be too late for many to bear fruit. So what do we have to do? 1 Corinthians 11 and 31 says, but if we discerned or judged ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay. So we take the word to depart from the things that are contrary to God. And that way, when the Lord does come, it won't be the last time. You will have opportunity to enter the kingdom. We have to discern what it is to be in Christ and who is the Word. And we have to do that now before it's too late. We want to be the one of the four that bears fruit. And the rest of the verse. Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written. Don't go beyond. Don't add to the word. Don't take away from the word. Or the last four verses of the book bring the curse upon you. That no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. This is going beyond the word. It's dangerous. Puffed up causes a person to judge. Puffed up causes a person to be too proud to be corrected. Puffed up is a terrible place to be. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You know, this is the second time in the context of this dream. But the first time when I was giving some notes to this dream, that verse came to me and I put it in and I shared it with you. Now it's part of the dream itself. So I thought that was very interesting, the way the Lord did that. So here's a pretty decent parable that's given to Sandy Shaw, January the 1st. And let me say, this dream came just before a conspiracy by the faction was uncovered by the Russians to assassinate President Trump. We watched it happen. Meaning, they got the dream and then this happened. They had captured, the Russians that is, captured a renegade Marine and interrogated him. I believe tortured him, too, to discover there was a plot for some of his Marine guards to assassinate the president. Putin promptly told Trump, who had the Marines around him, evacuated, and during this, there was a shootout, and a Marine they believed to be the assassin was killed. I believe the prayers of the saints who had already been warned about this. I've received several warnings, and we pray about it. When we get the warning, we pray, because it's usually before some attempted assassination, and there have been many. So I believe the saints who had already been warned won this battle. Well, so you can see how President Trump does not know who to trust. Would you in his situation? So here's the dream Sandy got. In a dream, Trump was in a room all by himself, sitting at a desk. And he's shaking his head, no, with his hands to his face. And he's saying, who can I trust? Who can I trust? He then takes his hands off his face and looks up and says, Lord, you know this is new for me, and I'm going to trust you. But how do I know I'm hearing from you? Then I woke up. Well, that's very interesting. A lot of people have that. They can't stand on the word because they're not sure it's to them. Especially young Christians. They have to be assured that the Bible was written to them. And then they have to look in the Bible and find out those wonderful riches that are hidden there. Right? So I asked for a word by faith at random, and I got Nehemiah 8 and 8. And they read in the book. There's your answer right there. How do I know I'm hearing from you? They read in the book. Isn't that neat? You need to become familiar with the writer of the book so that you know what he wants. You know what he's given you. You know the rules. And they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. And they gave the sense. Yeah, sense. S-E-N-S-E. Sense. You get a little sense when you read the book. Discernment. You know the God who wrote it. You know what his voice is like. So that they understood the reading. So I'm saying, pray for President Trump to escape the faction in the government and to sit in on those White House Bible studies. Romans 10 and 17 says, so belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You get ears to hear the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. They follow me. And it goes on to talk about no one can pluck them out of my hand. But notice who he's talking to. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Of course, the followers of Christ are never going to be plucked up. That's new. Not who the Bible says is going to be plucked up. Who's going to be plucked up? We just read it. Those that don't abide in him and don't bear fruit, they're going to be plucked up. And also, in parallel to this, pray for the Man-Child Company to escape the faction's character and physical assassination in the church, too. Yes, amen. I've had them send murderers to take me out before. I've had warnings about it, so we prayed it down before. Okay, so the hidden riches of Christ, the Word. And this revelation was given to Matthew Stewart on January the 2nd, 2019. But no, it wasn't then. It was a few months before. He didn't know exactly when, a few months before. So, in my dream, there was a dirt path leading to and around a barn. What is a barn? A barn is a place for the farmer's creatures to abide, for provision for those creatures, so on and so forth. And let me say that abiding in the Word is a provision for all things. Just like the barn is a place of provision, it's a provision for all things. The barn was weathered looking and old. And yes, of course, we want to go back to the original word that was given to our ancestors, spiritually speaking. It was weathered looking and old. There was a story told about the barn that there was lots of gold hidden in it somewhere. And lots of people had looked for it, but couldn't find it. This is true. Some people pick the Bible up and they don't stick with it long enough, be patient enough, be diligent enough to find the massive gold stashed there. You know what I mean? In fact, people are looking for it everywhere else but there. But that's where the gold is. All of your provision is in that barn. It's all there. Everything you need is there. How awesome. So I went to find the treasure in the barn. I went to the front door and I opened it. And right there in front of the door, on the inside, just, you know, as you enter through the door, which is Christ, right? Then you have opportunity to find it. And it starts right there where you are as soon as you enter in, right? So there in front of the door, on the inside was a spot where you could tell that previous people had dug looking for treasure. See, some people don't get very far inside the door before they start digging, and that's pretty good. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. You should start immediately looking for the treasures that God has hidden in His Word. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. There's a treasure hidden there. So I started to dig there too. But then noticed some people coming down the path. So I just hid the shovel and acted like I wasn't digging. Because I knew this was a big tourist attraction. Tourists, yes. There are tourists that pass by and look at the Bible. But they don't dig for that gold. Many Christians are tourists. So after they passed, I started digging again. And then some more people were coming. So I hid the shovel and again acted like I wasn't digging, but just looking around. Then they came, took a look inside, continued on down the path. Okay, nothing here. That's the problem. And let me say something else, that where the multitudes of Christians walk, you won't find the gold. You got to dig to find the gold. Get out there with the multitudes. What's the biggest church out there? Yeah. Do they find any? No. They even talk their people out of reading the Bible. And what about some of the daughters of the mother harlot? Same thing. You don't need to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you what it says. Their priests, their preachers do the same thing. You don't need to read it. When people start reading it, they get delivered of the dead religions. They go on looking for the gold, right? Oh, glory to God. After they left, I continued digging, and I was getting pretty deep when I noticed that some more people were coming. Then I realized that this hole was really noticeable and that someone would fall in and hurt themselves. You know what? Sometimes you find wonderful things when you dig into the Word that can be harmful to people because they haven't put enough Word or foundation in them to be able to receive these things. And I didn't want people to claim the treasure either, so I filled in the hole. Then I went around back, and Anna was there. There was a ladder going up to the second story, so I climbed up. But Anna stayed down below. I got to the second story, and there were toolboxes full of old tools, axes and saws, laying around. Well, you need the tools, right, to get to the deeper things. You know, you find tools in the Word to help you find other things that are deep and hidden. As I was looking through the toolboxes, I heard Leonid talking to Anna, and he said, "My grandparents left this place with $1 billion, but they left $1 million worth of gold behind." Yeah, our forefathers have found much gold in God's Word. And sometimes their children get away from it. They get sidetracked into religion. They lose out on that gold. But it's there. But there is much that's sealed up for us to find in these days, right? It's sealed up until the time of the end, right? So gold represents the value of the nature of God given through the Word. Colossians 2 and 3 says, "In whom, that is in Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden." These treasures will save your life. They will be a provision to you that are way above and beyond anything the world knows about. They actually believe that the presidents, in many cases, run the country. No, you know who it is? If you've read the Bible, you know who it is. It's the people behind doing the praying and sending forth the angels and commanding the mountains to be moved and these things. These are the people that are running things. The Satanists have had their try too. And they've gathered together at least three times worldwide to try to curse Trump, and they failed. He just got more blessed, and that's because there are people on the other side praying. I mean, they made a fool out of themselves and made big statements up front, and it didn't happen. Okay, Matthew 13 and 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And in his joy he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field, because the treasure is in it." Now we know the field is the world, but in this world, the Bible is here, the people of the Bible are here, and the treasure is here. Luke 16:11 says, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So if we're faithful in what we have, God will show us things deeper, won't he? Romans 11 and 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God." The depths. They're hidden in the depths. But you can dig them up. "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out." Amen. These things are hidden. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7 says, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden." Praise God. He's hidden these things. He's hidden them from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. And Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus," who is what? The Word of God. And 2 Timothy 2 and 20. "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver." So the nature of God. This is the people who have come into the nature of God. "But also of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor." 1 Peter 1 and 7, "That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it is proved by fire." And of course, when you prove gold by fire, you make it purer. "May be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There's your gold. Revelation 3 and 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, not physically rich necessarily, but spiritually rich for sure, and white garments. So you see, the gold represents the same thing as the white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, that the shame of thy nakedness be not manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. Oh, praise God. And that's the end of that dream. Now, here's another one that Sandy Shaw had on December the 28th, 2018. We called it, We Can Enter the Inner Court. Donna Merlin transcribed it for her. The way this dream starts, I had my head down and there were light curtains moving in the breeze. All of a sudden, the Lord takes my hand. I walk with him into the inner court. We bowed down and we were praying. Tell them when they pray, do not come short of entering my court, he said. We prayed a little more and I opened my eyes. What is this? The outer court is where the flesh is sacrificed. The inner court is the holy place where the incense representing prayer is offered. Then behind the veil is the Holy of Holies where the Ark of God's presence is. Jesus sacrificed his life in order to rend this veil, which represents his flesh being rent, so we could be in God's presence through faith and prayer. So, Sandy said, I was standing in a meadow, and Kurt, who has passed on before us, said, Hi, Sandy. And I knew it was Kurt, and I could see through him. I said, Kurt, how am I standing? Because Sandy had lost a leg, you know. Because you're standing on the Word of God. Look over there. And I saw my leg. Kurt said, There's your leg. Just a little while longer. Keep enduring in your fight. You are strong in Him. All right, Kurt. You got it. Kurt means wise counsel. We know he's got some real wise counsel now. The Lord said, Tell David he already knows. Now, she didn't say, or they didn't say, Kurt didn't say, the Lord didn't say, what I already know. But I'm thinking about these miracles, and I'm thinking, if the Lord is speaking of the time of revival and miracles, I believe it will come after Joel's northern army is defeated by God and the earthquakes come. And the Holy Spirit is poured out in Joel chapter 2. Remember that? After the northern army was beaten, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we've received in dreams that after the in the midst of the earthquakes, there's going to be a revival started too. And I believe it's all because of the coming of the Lord in the man child. And then, Kurt said, tell Michael Hare. He's on the right track, but he needs to wait for the Lord. And let him hold his hand. Wow. Hey, hold my hand too, Lord. Don't forget me. I need somebody to hold my hand. I need you to hold my hand, Lord. Help, help. And tell Brandy not to fret, for the Lord has heard him, and everything he's prayed for will come to pass. Isn't that something? From the Lord through Kurt, we get the answer. And tell them all very soon, things will come to pass. And if what they pray for is good for them and lines up with the word, they shall have it. Amen. So Sandy says, I asked for a word by faith at random, and I got 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death. for Jesus' sake. Now, what does that mean in the context here? The sacrifice of the flesh happens in the outer court. Then we enter into the inner court, where the altar of incense, which represents prayer, is given before the veil, which is now opened by the sacrifice of Jesus. Here we can receive all grace to walk in his steps. Amen. So, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. In the church, much of it does not believe this because they haven't dug the hidden riches out. So, through death, we enter into life. Everybody does. Through spiritual death to self, we enter into the life of God. And the whole purpose of coming to the throne of grace, coming to the presence of the Lord and the Holy of Holies with our prayers, is so that we may receive constantly the life of Jesus manifested in our mortal flesh. What kind of gold is that? Wow, the best, right? Acts 15:7 is a second verse she got by faith at random. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, Brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Oh, praise God for that. Now the Gentiles are able to dig into the gold, right? Our forefathers, the very early forefathers, were Jews, you know. But after that, the Gentiles entered in, and they also partook of the gold. And God, who knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. Oh, praise God. Isn't it awesome? Folks, spend time in the Word. It can save your life in the days to come. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance all things that he said unto us, but you have to put it in there so he can bring it to your remembrance. He holds you responsible in that way. Can he speak it to you? Of course he can speak it to you. But you get far less spoken of the pure Word of God to you than you find in the pure Word of God. Many people believe they have discernment. Many times they're wrong. You can't trust that. You can trust the Word. And you can examine what you feel the Lord is saying to you by the pure Word of God. And that way you won't go astray. Those that hold highly their discernment above the Word and don't consider the Word, they always get led astray. Always. Because there are other spirits that can speak to you out there, and they do, and they want to, and they want to lead you astray. The only way you can know is to hold their feet to the fire of the Word of God, right? So pick up those tools and go dig for the deeper riches of the Word of God. Find out, you know, what it is that you need for the days ahead. Listen, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. Riches in glory. And where is it? In Christ Jesus. And who is he? The Word. Riches in glory, hidden in the Word. Glory of God to conceal a thing, and the glory of kings to seek it out. I've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. You have to come like a babe, trusting in the Lord. You get into the Word, say, Father, take my hand, like we just heard. Take my hand. Lead me through this Word. Show me the truths that I need for the coming days and that I can share with other people, including my children, spouses, whatever, in a time of need, how they can have the riches of God, how they can escape troubles, how they can have the provision hidden in that barn, right? Oh, Lord, Lord, we thank you. And we ask, Lord, that you lead us by the hand to those riches that are hidden in your book. And Lord, that we that brought to our remembrance as we have need of them in the circumstances of this life. And Lord, that we might escape the faction that's going forth in the world and in the church, because it's coming for a purpose. It is to separate the tares from among the wheat and to gather them into bundles, to roll them off in that lake. So, Lord, please, please, let your people escape all the traps of Satan out there to destroy them. And the Word of God, of course, Lord, will cause people never to ever be factious or ever to accept the Spirit in the first place, because the rules are there. A factious person, after first and second admonition, refuse. And you should correct them every time they do it. That way, the first and second admonition is given, and the third is your refusal. When you fail to do that, they will take you out. This is the test. A person listens to other people speak lies against other people, they'll get taken out. You just keep your nose all in that news out there, and I want to tell you, you can still get taken out even if you're totally patriotic. Some of them are being taken out too. I'm talking about people on the right wing. They're getting taken out because they're listening to a bunch of garbage too, a bunch of criticism about people. Just keep on feeding on that, feeding on that. Don't feed on the Word and feed on that. See what happens. You'll get taken out too. Have you seen any of the conservative media being taken out? Yes, you have. How does that happen? They get unforgiven. And when you're unforgiven, you are unforgiven by God. And when that happens, he permits that faction to take you out. There are people who are totally flipped from conservative thinking to faction. How did that happen? People wonder, what happened to them? This was a conservative. That's what happened. Be sure you forgive everybody, even the wicked. Be sure you forgive. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful exhortation today. Lord, we ask you to bless Michael Hare as he brings a word to. We thank you for anointing him and those that listen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Bless you.